Hey everybody, I'm Eric, and today I watched WWE Week 12 of 2017, which aired March 20th through March 22nd, and includes Raw Episode 1243, SmackDown 918, 205 Live 17, NXT 383, and Main Event 233. A special mention for Ride Along, the episode 405 Live. I didn't understand. I actually watched this episode twice, and I didn't catch why it was called 405 Live. It's because they were driving up the 405, going into or out of. I think it's going into Los Angeles. I'll talk a little bit more about that episode shortly. So my rankings for the week, as far as the shows go, my number one show is Talking Smack, followed by Ride Along. Number three is SmackDown. Number four is 205 Live. Number five is NXT. Number six is Main Event. And number seven is Raw. My favorite matches of the week. Number one is Mustafa Ali versus Neville. Fantastic match on 205 Live. Number two was Asuka versus Priscilla Zuniga over on NXT. I loved that match. Asuka is just awesome in it. I'll talk about that more later. Number three was American Alpha versus the Usos on SmackDown Live. And my top moments from that were not in the ring, or rather weren't matches. We had number one, the Usos on Talking Smack. Number two, Miz and Maryse's Total BS parody. That was pretty great on SmackDown. And number three was Gallows and Anderson on Ride Along. And a special mention, not number one through three, this is number A double, Aries gifts a banana peel to a boy in the audience. Fantastic. One of the best moments of the entire year so far. And it's such a subtle buildup to get to that point. Well done. Well done. All right. So let's talk about Raw first. Stephanie McMahon fires Mick Foley. Sami Zayn comes out and stands up to Stephanie McMahon. And Samoa Joe comes out and has a match against Sami Zayn and destroys him. Special note for this match, a tornado DDT through the ropes was pretty exciting. And of course, Samoa Joe finishes off Sami Zayn with a coquina clutch. I don't remember if it was actually inside the ring or not. It might have been outside the ring. I don't remember. I kind of blocked a lot of things from my memory as far as this episode goes. We had Bayley. She gives Mick a goodbye hug, and then Triple H ruins the moment. Gives Mick Foley a have a nice day. Ugh. And then Stephanie offers Bayley a hug. Probably not a serious offer. And Bayley, for the first time possibly ever, I don't think I've ever seen Bayley refuse a hug, but she does not want a hug from Stephanie McMahon. We had an episode of The Highlight Reel, where we saw the real Kevin Owens, a young Y2J fan with a Y2J shirt, doing the Y2J thing with his arms, with a Y2J poster, possibly a Y2J action figure, bunch of his pictures on the other side, and a busty blonde who gets no further mention after just being pointed out. He was marking out, man, Chris Jericho says. Joe comes out and distracts Chris Jericho. Kevin attacks him from behind, and he tears up the list of Jericho. The most visceral reaction of the night about some pieces of paper held onto a clipboard that may not have had anything actually written on them except for Tom Phillips' name. Unrightfully, Tom Phillips' name. Maybe this is actually a good thing that this false list has been destroyed. But if Jericho is really thinking ahead. He knows that at any point his list could be, compromised. I think the actual list was inside of the clipboard, and so there's only just the most recent page on the front there. So not a huge loss, I don't think. Because it is one of those kinds of clipboards that has a compartment. It's not just one flat piece. It has the, or maybe not. Maybe I'm imagining it differently. It might not have the compartment inside, but I have a feeling it does. We'll find out next week. Before WrestleMania, the ultimate thrill ride, punch-facing extravaganza. We had a match. Yeah, we finally had a match. We did already have a match between Samoa Joe and Sami Zayn. But Cesaro and Sheamus are another dumb thing. They're put into a handicap match versus Enzo and Cass and Gallows and Anderson. And if they win, then they keep their spot in the WrestleMania match. If they don't, then they're out. Like, what is this? It's revenge against Mick Foley because he's the one who originated their teamdom. But in about 30 seconds, okay, before this, on the Hulu version of the show, right before this was a promo, a video package about Roman Reigns, I think. We get three instances of this friggin' Roman Reigns video package, but no cruiserweights at all on the Hulu cut. What is that about? My God. My God. Three times we see the same thing, but no cruiserweights at all. Ugh. Way to promote 205 Live, guys. For all the Hulu viewers, thanks. And all your international viewers too, right? Because those are that's the version that goes up on YouTube for the show, the countries that don't have Raw on television, I think, from what I understand. Anyhow, I skipped over this video package, and then I get right to the pin. I see Cesaro and Sheamus win, and I'm like, wait, what happened? I did not skip ahead that far. So I skip back a little bit and I'm back to where I just started, the beginning of that video package. I'm like, wait, what is going on? Did they really just cut out everything except the end of this match? So I begrudgingly watch through the video package so they don't miss the beginning of this segment with Cesaro and Sheamus versus those other two teams. And no, they didn't cut anything out, at least as far as the actual match. The match is seriously over in about 30 seconds. I was baffled. Why even have this? It was like the opposite of filler. It was like, oh, we have a commitment to show these teams on television, but we don't have the time for it. To get it done in 10 seconds. Go. Okay, we're good. We showed them. They're good. So, that was weird. It was weird, but I'm glad Cesaro and Sheamus are still in that match. Is that match going to be on the pre-show? Maybe. More likely, the SmackDown tag team match will be on the pre-show. There has to be some stuff. Now, I have a feeling that next week, we're going to get to this on SmackDown Live, but next week we're going to see Luke Harper versus Bray Wyatt on SmackDown Live. I think that Luke Harper, whatever match Luke Harper is in, that will be on the pre-show, which I'll be excited for whatever match that he's involved in. Who is it going to be against? Maybe a member of the Wyatt family who's still in the Wyatt family. We'll see. I'll talk a little bit more on that when we get to SmackDown. We had Nia Jax versus Bayley in a non-disqualification match. And if she won, she gets to join the WrestleMania Women's Championship match. Makes it a fatal four-way. Why was this no disqualifications? It does nothing to favor Bayley. Like, this whole episode is just Steph getting back at people who are sympathetic towards... empathetic? Towards Mick Foley. Nia Jax wins. There was a moment. I did like this part of commentary. that Bayley slaps Nia Jax, and Corey Graves is just like, that was just dumb. Good call. Good call. Literally. We had an interview with Triple H where he's yelling the whole time. What do we expect? Do we expect anything else than him to be super intense and yelling even when a normal person would just be talking in response to questions by an interview? It's not really even an interview. There's like one question asked by Michael Cole, and then Triple H goes, just runs with it and yells with it. Let's see. Roman Reigns, a match between... Oh, before that, Triple H says, well, I'm going to have our people drop a hold harmless agreement. And if Seth Rollins is up for it, he can come out next week and sign that, so that if he gets hurt and all that, then he can't hold anybody responsible except for himself. So that's going to happen. And now I'm convinced, I was already convinced last week, that Seth Rollins didn't actually re-injure his leg. So if that is the case, well done for making it pretty realistic that did happen. It's very unlikely they had him taking shots from it. Well, maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, I didn't finish that sentence. I meant from the crutch, getting hit with the crutch in the leg. We had a match between Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman. It's interrupted by The Undertaker. The Undertaker, who, when he appears, is facing Roman Reigns, he decides instead to chokeslam Braun Strowman and then gets speared by Roman Reigns. I thought, what? This is so dumb. And then the only thing that might make it better is if The Undertaker, who is like writhing around in the ring, if he does his sit-up thing. And he does, and it didn't actually make it any better for me. So, I don't know. At least Roman Reigns for this month isn't in any of the title matches. So you can at least enjoy Chris Jericho versus Kevin Owens without any of that believe that business muddling things up. And I don't know. So that's Raw. Let's talk about the real star of the week. Right Along, episode 405 live. I don't know which numbered episode it is. But we have Gallows and Anderson in one car, along with AJ Styles and Finn Balor in the back seat as cardboard cutouts. And we got plenty of impressions of AJ and plenty of impressions of Finn Balor. Their impression of AJ is so good. And then their impression of Finn Balor is just a leprechaun voice. Hi, brother. So dumb, but it is very, very funny. And then the other car was also really entertaining. We had R-Truth and Goldust in there. Goldust with his face paint, and that is an issue throughout the episode. And it's like, I can't be doing all this. I'm in this face paint. Come on. They get some sushi even, and he has the face paint on for that. That is pretty funny. It's also pretty funny to see him wearing the face paint and his glasses. It's a nice look. It's a nice look. They talk a little bit about the history of his character, the origins of coming up with the Goldust gimmick. So that was pretty cool too. So I highly recommend this episode of Ride Along. Almost the best thing this week, right behind Talking Smack. Talking Smack is always great. And this week's no different. So before we get there, we have WWE main events. The first match, Jinder Mahal defeats Curtis Axel. That's it. No Bo Dallas match this week. So it is no longer Bo event. The Bo event. And at the 30-minute mark, if you're watching on Hulu, we have Jack Gallagher and Gran Metalik teaming up against Daivari, the team of Arya Daivari and Noam Dar. Pretty good match. Not as good as the cruiserweight matches on Main Event the last 2 weeks, though. It didn't crack my top three matches as those two did. Jack wins via the headbutt and dropkick combo on Noam Dar. Then, before we get to SmackDown, this week we also had a new issue of WWE comic book. So issue number 3 is out now, and it further chronicles the adventures of Seth Rollins, his road back into action, back to his title that he never lost. He doesn't say that in this issue, but he's out of action. He's had knee surgery and he's recovering, and we get the origin of Bootios. When the New Day come to visit him, they just show up out of nowhere. What fresh hell? And they're just talking trash about Seth Rollins. Like, he's just sitting around eating cereal, and then they get the idea of Bootios. So that's pretty interesting, right? And then we also have an awesome 2-page comic, and by awesome I mean really weird also, where Finn Balor is just walking home one night and he encounters Demon Balor and he fights the demon and wins, and that's how he gets the headpiece. At first I thought he scalped the demon, but it is just a hat that the demon was wearing that matches the demon's skin and everything. Really weird. It's really weird. And the demon is also a cyclops, which I didn't really imagine. Actually, I never really imagined the demon being an actual demon that Finn Balor had to fight or anything. So anyway, that's kind of a fun bit of the comic. And just those two pages are worth this issue, in my opinion. All right, on to SmackDown episode 918. We open the show with AJ accepting Shane McMahon's challenge. We have a tag team title match. The Usos defeat American Alpha with a super kick. What is that other word? Well, anyway, they win the championship. I wasn't really expecting that to happen. And hopefully now we get a lot more focus on these guys. They've been mostly absent the last few weeks. They had their match last week, but we had no activity from any of the other tag teams. And same with this week. We didn't have any other activity from the other tag teams this week either. So I would really enjoy a one-on-one tag team match to kind of counter the NXT triple threat, elimination triple threat for the tag team titles, the Raw triple threat for the tag team titles. Let's just have a one-on-one tag team match from one of these shows. That would be solid. I would enjoy it. Next up we had, I thought it was pretty funny. I think it was Jay. He wore the, walking up the ramp, he had the belt around his neck, like a very weird necklace, more like a collar. Like one of those collars to keep a dog from licking its wounds. That's how he's wearing that belt. I liked it. We had Luke become a creepy speed bump for Bray, as we're going to see them fight next week. I kind of have my fingers crossed that this match gets interfered with, maybe by Randy Orton. Maybe he gets involved, and then somebody else gets involved as well. So Luke and Randy kind of end up on the same side. And standing at Bray's side, Eric Rowan, who we haven't seen in quite a while. So that's what I think might happen. And then we'll get Luke Harper versus Eric Rowan as a match at WrestleMania. Otherwise, Luke Harper will just be in the Battle Royal. That's not going to be very much fun. I mean, Luke Harper is not... He will be fun. I mean, it's not as good as having Luke Harper in his own match. That's what I mean. The Battle Royal will be pretty fun, I think. Let's see. We had the Total Bellas BS. Tons of fake outs proposals from Ms. Cena. The Miz plays John Cena in these segments, and Maryse plays both Nikki and Brie Bella. I thought that was pretty great. But that the mockery of the Bellas and John Cena does not end there, as we also have a match between John Cena and Fandango, but accompanying Fandango to the ring is Breezy Bella. Tyler Breeze dressed as Nikki Bella, and he pulls it off surprisingly well. Like, I don't even have any words for it other than that. Like, it worked really well. But before we talk about that, let's talk about Randy Orton versus Baron Corbin. Orton defeats Corbin with an RKO only after Dean Ambrose provides a distraction by talking to Corbin from atop a forklift. So are we going to have forklifts involved in their match? He accepts Baron Corbin's challenge. It is going to be a one-on-one match. Yes, a one-on-one match for the Intercontinental title between Dean Ambrose and Baron Corbin at WrestleMania. I think that would be pretty great. We did get a great power slam from Randy Orton after Corbin's slide in and out technique. Slide out and in, rather. So is there going to be forklift involvement at this Intercontinental title match? I hope so. I hope so. Maybe it's a straight up match, though. Instead of a ladder match, they have a forklift match, and they have to use the forklift to get up to a title. And the title keeps moving around. That's why they have so much stuff that they're building, because they have to fly that title around to different places that they have to pilot those forklifts to get to. No, that would be dumb. They're not going to do that. They might. They might. So John Cena defeats Fandango in that match that I was just talking about. We have another finisher combo mirrored by Nikki Bella. Her moves performed on Breezy Bella. So they pulled it off a lot better than they did last week against Carmella and James Ellsworth. So I'll give them that. We had Becky Lynch versus Carmella. Turns into a brawl with Natalia first joining the fray. She was on commentary for this match. And then Mickey comes out, and then Alexa comes out, and Ellsworth takes it right in the face from Becky Lynch. She drop kicks him, a big drop kick off of the turnbuckle. So that was pretty exciting. This whole episode, AJ is waiting backstage for Shane again. He's going to do he tells everybody, I'm going to do that what I did last week again. I got rewarded for it, so why not? So he's waiting backstage, and a limo pulls up, and it's not Shane McMahon, it's Heath and Rhino. They are very, very late. They are very late for this episode. They get there with like 15 minutes left to go. And on Twitter, I think it's Heath Slater who says they were at a party. Okay, I guess that's an acceptable reason in the WWE. Shane has tricked AJ. He makes his way into the arena. AJ's still outside. Renee informs him, hey, AJ, Shane is out in the ring. Do you want to go check things out? Go talk to him? So AJ comes out, and he offers an apology and a handshake to Shane. He enters the ring, and Shane goes crazy. He just starts beating up AJ. Fisticuffs. The pure definition of fisticuffs. He lays AJ out onto the announcer's table and climbs up onto the turnbuckle, and big leaping elbow through the table. He hits AJ with like part of his hand. And yeah, this guy is crazy. This guy is crazy. What is he willing to do at WrestleMania? He just might pass away from whatever he attempts to do. I hope not. That would be sad. I don't want anybody to get really hurt and deceased from jumping off of things. Don't jump off so many things, man. So that's how we end the episode, with AJ and Shane having gone through a table. All right. 205 Live. Tony Nese defeats TJ Perkins with the running Nese. We get a little bit of a recap of Raw when the Brian Kendricks has stolen Akira Tozawa's passport. That's a federal offense, I'm pretty sure. We have Akira Tozawa versus some Reynolds guy. He defeats him instantly with his signature German suplex. That was pretty great. And then he goes after the Brian Kendrick. He calls him out, says, come out here and fight me now. He doesn't come out. He's like, okay, then I'm going to find you. And he makes his way up the ramp, but then is attacked by a security guard. A security guard who was wearing underneath his clothes a Brian Kendrick costume. It's Brian Kendrick in a security guard uniform. So that happens. We have a backstage segment with Noam Dar being angry about another intercepted gift. This time it's lingerie. He said, this is ridiculous. Stop it. I know it's you, Rich Swann. Stop it. We have another interview with Austin Aries. The interview with Neville didn't go so well the previous night. And so he's giving another shot, this time without Neville. So it's one of the questions he answers the same way that he did in his previous interview with himself. But it was still funny. It was still entertaining. And he heads over to commentary for Neville versus Mustafa Ali. Neville defeats Mustafa Ali with the Rings of Saturn, but not before springboard Spanish fly off the top rope by Mustafa Ali. That was fantastic. There's also a tilt-a-whirl DDT. Is that what it was? Something like that. It was different from a tornado DDT. I feel like it was much more involved than that. It was pretty awesome. We also had a top rope German suplex, which was amazing. And then after the match, Aries and Neville stare each other down, of course, because they're opponents of each other. And I hope it stays just one-on-one. It better stay just one-on-one, because it's going to be fantastic at WrestleMania. And then, of course, as I had mentioned, when Aries came out, he gave a banana peel to a boy at the barricades near the top of the entrance. Fantastic. And then we have NXT. We open with Andrade Cien Almas. Defeats Oney Lorcan with a hammerlock DDT. Solid match. I was a little bit distracted while watching it, so I didn't quite get into it until the very end. But yeah, these two really took it to each other. We had a promo from DIY talking about TakeOver. And then we had my second favorite match of the week. Asuka just destroys Priscilla Zuniga. She, after the match begins, but before they start fighting, she cuts a promo on Amber Moon, says, this is your fate. Watch this. We got a monstrous hip attack. The camera work really helped that one. It like almost left frame, and it was so quick. She hits her with it like right as Priscilla comes off of the ropes. And I thought that was a really exciting move. She pulls her up from a pin just to toy with her even more. I thought that was great. She lifts her up off of the ground for a German suplex like it's nothing. Like she's picking up a pillow. She just lifts Priscilla right off the ground, hits her with that German suplex, and then she gets her into the Asuka lock. And she keeps her in that hold for a while after the bell rings to send a message to Amber Moon. She says a bunch of stuff in Japanese, or maybe the same thing a bunch of times, and then in English, no eclipse. I actually had a I had a dream last night. I think it was about Ember Moon versus Asuka, and she like countered the eclipse, and it was really cool. So maybe that will happen. That could be kind of neat. How could she counter it? She could counter it into an RKO. That'd be kind of weird. Next, we had Elias Sampson bugging Cassius Ohno backstage when he's trying to get an interview going. And he agrees to a match. Cassius agrees to a loser leaves NXT. Now, does that mean they then move on to one of the main shows? In which case, it's kind of a good thing to lose, right? So if Elias Sampson does lose and then ends up on SmackDown, I'm not sure how I would feel about that. He would make a pretty good team with Curt Hawkins. Face the facts, jam those tunes. That's a really bad tagline. But I could see Curt Hawkins coming out with Elias Sampson jamming on the guitar behind him. It'd be weird and awful, but it'd be something. It'd be something, that's for sure. And then we had Sanity, a six-man tag match between Sanity and No 10 Strong. It's ended with a disqualification when a brawl breaks out. Nikki attacks Ty, and then a mysterious woman comes out and saves the day. We have four bodies in the ring standing tall against Sanity, and that mysterious woman is Ruby Riott, also known as Heidi Lovelace. I'm excited to see what she brings to the table, especially versus Nikki Cross. I think they're going to have some amazing matches against each other, and it's great to see some new women coming in. The trickle begins. As I firmly believe Asuka's moving on to SmackDown. We'll see soon enough. But to see a bunch of awesome people come in to hopefully fill that void well, that's exciting. So that's it, I think. Yeah, that's it for this week. I enjoyed quite a few moments. I'm looking forward to WrestleMania. Hopefully it's more great stuff than not so great. I'll have my predictions next week after I talk about all of the main shows. So watch out for that episode as we go into WrestleMania weekend. Let me know what you thought about everything that happened this week, what you think is going to happen at WrestleMania by tweeting me at TIW Podcast. Go to todayiwatched.com for more reviews. If you enjoyed this episode or anything else on the site, please share some links with your friends. Subscribe on iTunes, write a review on iTunes, and support the show even more at patreon.com/todayiwatched. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll be back next week with week 13. The final avenue to the ultimate thrill ride, face punching extravaganza, WrestleMania 33. Bye for now.